Okay, Shalom uvracha to everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class of learning. So just to clarify, this class does not meet every week. You should not be confused. I know we had Shir last week. That was really a makeup session for March the 8th. So we have Shir last week, which was really the March 8th class. Then we have Shir today. So we do not have Shir for two more weeks. So it's not an every week Shir. So don't be confused, please. We thank our generous sponsor very much. YC is not yet on the Zoom, but she has told me in the past, don't wait for me. Just start on time. So we thank our Shir sponsor very much. Tizki the Mitzvah, so the Maisim Tovim. The Shir should be as Chas for the Aliyah Neshama and Zechiru the Neshama the Tova. For Chayesh Prince Abbas Avraham, Allah HaShalom. We hope that these Divrei Torah will be a Nachas Ruach for the Neshama. But as Hashem. So we are, of course, Erev Purim. So we are going to have a Shabbos Kodesh class related to Inyani Purim. And we'll see where the idea of Shabbos relates to the narrative of the Megillah and what happened to the during the time of Achashverosh, Vashti, Mordechai, and Esther, etc. So what I'm going to begin with doing is just screen sharing. We're going to be looking at the beginning of Perek Aleph in the Megillah together. So let me screen share with you. I put it right here. Okay, you should be able to see that this is Esther chapter 1. You could see. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Okay, so the Megillah begins seemingly on the level of the Peshat, at least many, many Midrashim telling us about the Jews' participation in the party, about the big day Kahuna, about the Kalim from the base Hamikdash. So there's a lot of Midrashim, but on the level of the Peshat, we don't see this as connected to Am Yisrael at all. And the beginning of the Megillah begins by telling us the following. He was in the days of Achashverosh, Hamalech Mehodu Vad Kush. He had a vast empire, Shav Asum Mea Medina, a huge empire from India to Ethiopia, massive empire of 127 provinces. Bayami Mehem in those days, Kishavas Hamalech Achashverosh, Akise Merchuso, when the king Achashverosh was sitting on his royal throne, Asher Beshushan Abira, that is in Shushan Abira. I just thought of something interesting as I'm actually speaking, not when I was preparing, but this is very, very interesting. What struck me, maybe it struck you too, is that this third word on this pasuk can be read as Kishabbos. Did you see that? Did you notice that when I was reading the pasuk? I did, because preparing the shir, it's about Shabbos. So, in those days when the king Achashverosh was sitting on his royal throne, that was in the capital city of Shushan, imperial palace was in Shushan. But I just thought of something. The downfall of Vashti, which leads to Esther's queen, becoming queen, which leads to the salvation of Am Yisrael, happened because of Shabbos. So for here, right, as soon as we begin the story of the parties, the first thing we're told is, this is an allusion to Shabbos. Bayami Mahem in those days, Kishabbos HaMelech. The Shabbos of the king was being defiled by Achashverosh and his queen. And because Shabbos was being defiled, Vashti would have her downfall. Very, very beautiful. Bayami Mahem Kishabbos HaMelech can be read as Kishabbos HaMelech. Like the Shabbos of the king was being defiled, the king of all kings. Therefore, Achashverosh is going to order Vashti to be killed, which will make way for Esther. Bishnas Shalosh HaMelech. So why did he wait until the third year of his rule to make this party? So Chazal tell us, because that's when he calculated the 70 years of Galus Bavel were over. According to his calculations, the 70 years of Galus Bavel were over. Hashem forgot about Am Yisrael. So now he's making a party to celebrate the fact that the ruin of Jerusalem is the final ruin of Jerusalem, and they won't go back. So he makes this whole party, and he shows off the wealth of his kingdom and how much glory he has. It was so many days. It was 180 days. It's just incredible how focused Achashverosh is on Mishta. Even when Esther goes to beg for her life, she invites Haman and Achashverosh to the Mishta Ayaya. And then at the Mishta Ayaya, he says, what do you want, Esther? She says, I want you to come to Mishta the next day. So, and when these days finished, when the 180 days, then he makes another party only for the people of Shushan Habira. Mishta Shivas Yamim. There is a big focus here on the number 7. Okay, so we've already seen an allusion. The beginning of the Megillah tells us that the party happens Kishavas HaMelech Achashverosh, which can be seen as an allusion to the fact that Shabbos was defiled in the palace of Achashverosh. Now we see that the second party that he makes for all the residents of Shushan, from small, from great to young, the Migdal Vad Katan, Mishta Shivas Yamim, was a party for 7 days. Where did he make this party? Bechatzar, in the courtyard, Ginas Pisan HaMelech, the courtyard of the royal gardens. And he shows off all of the wealth of the palace, and they drink in golden vessels. Kelim Kelim Shonim is read in the tune of Echa, because he was using the plundered Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and they served so much wine, everybody could do whatever they want. Gam Vashti Hamalka also some Mishten Nashim based on Machos of Shalom Achashverosh. Now, Vashti the queen also. Vashti the queen also made a party for the women in the royal palace to the house of Achashverosh. We're going to see in the Gemara. Why did she make her party? Remember, Chazal Darshan, every word in Tanakh. Why did she make her party in the palace of the king Achashverosh? She had certainly woman's quarters. She had queen's quarters. So why didn't she make her party in the queen's quarters? Why did she make her party in the man's quarters? Bayom Hashvi'i. So we already saw that the second party was a seven-day party, focus on seven. We already saw Keshavas HaMerech, a reference to Shabbos. Now, Bayom HaShvi, on the seventh day, another reference to something seven, Ketav Leiv HaMelech B'Yayin, when the king's heart was good with wine, Amar, he says, the Mehuman, Bizisa, Charvana, Bigsa, V'Av, Gasa, Zesa, Recharkos, Shiva, Sasarisim. How many chamberlains does he have serving the king? Again, what? It's quite obvious. Seven. So he calls these seven servants on the seventh day of a seven-day party when he is Shavas HaMelech, defiling Shabbos, Lahavius Vashti HaMalka Lefnei HaMelech, because her Malchus, they call for Vashti, the queen, to come before the king in a royal crown to show everybody, the nations and the officers, that she is so beautiful, of such beautiful appearance. And of course, we know that the Gemara tells us explicitly, he wants her to come in her royal crown and only her royal crown to show off her beauty. And she refused. The king says, I'm not coming. You sent these chamberlains to Gami, and the king is very, very angry, and his wrath burns against him. And the king says to the Chachamim, Yodea Itim, he says to the wise men who know the times, Ki kein dvar melech, vnei ko yodea das v'din, because he's presenting the case before all those who know the law, das v'din, and the judgment. So he presents a case. What's the case? He asks the Chachamim, the wise men, Yodea Itim, who know how to calculate time, what should we do? Who is close to him? Karshana Shesar Admasa Tarshish Maris Marsina Mimuchan Shivas Sare Paras Numadai. The seven officers on Paras Amadai who served the face of the king, who sit first before the king. So there's a lot of focus here on the number seven, and we already saw direct explicit reference to Shabbos. Kedas Mala Sos Bamalka Vashti. What is the rule? What is the law? What should we do with this Queen Vashti? Because she didn't come according to the word of the king and the hands of the chamberlains. Okay, so now, of course, Mimuchan gives his advice. She didn't only rebel against the king, she rebelled against all the husbands and all the provinces. Everyone's going to say we don't have to give honor to our husbands, which leads the way for Vashti to be killed and for Esther to be queen. Okay, so now I'm going to begin with Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, who speaks about this idea of the seventh day of the feast of Achashverosh. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, says as follows, and on the seventh day of the feast, okay, it was on the seventh day, Bayom HaShvi, we already saw the Pesukim online, Ketav Lev HaMelech Bayayin, it was on the seventh day when his heart was glad with wine. At that point, he says his seven advisors to bring Vashti. Okay. And on the seventh day of the feast, says the Rav, the seventh day was introduced in order to emphasize the contrast between the role assigned to the seventh day in our worldview and that which the Persians attributed to the same. So the Rav says the seventh day here is highlighted. Now, of course, it's Dafka. It's not an accident. Why is the Ketuvim telling me it was specifically on the seventh day? The Ketuvim wants to emphasize for us the contrast between what? We're going to compare and contrast the way the two different groups behave and act on the seventh day. The role that we assign, meaning Am Yisrael, what is the role that we, Am Yisrael, assign to the seventh day? What is our worldview of the seventh day? Vayi B'yom HaShvi, we know what it is. And that which the Persians attributed to the same. On the seventh day, says Rabbi Salvechik, the feasting reached its pinnacle. The joy is very great. The merriment, the gaiety are overwhelming. There is like an ecstasy at the party on the seventh day. The joy is so great that the merriment and the gaiety are overwhelming. What does this mean for the Persians? What does it mean? The climax of the party on the seventh day is, quote, the loss of human dignity. It's on the seventh day when the party reaches its apex that specifically then they call Vashti to appear naked before the king to show everyone in attendance how very beautiful she is. The seventh day for the Persians means a loss of human dignity, the abolition of all standards of decency. The climax of our rejoicing, say the Persians, is to abolish any standard of decency, any human respect or dignity. In a word, when the heart of man is merry with wine, he turns into an undignified, coarse voluptuary. He turns into an undignified coarse, C-O-A-R-S-E, a boor, a disgusting person, a voluptuary. His refinement is gone by the seventh day. Contrast that, of course, to Am Yisrael, for the Jew, when the feasting in our life reaches its apex. That's when we find ourselves in the presence of God. Ein simcha el b'basar, ein simcha el b'yayin. When do we have basar and yayin? Shabbos, Yom Tov. The apex of our feasting is that person, a Jew, finds himself in the presence of a Kosh Baruch Hu. And we are zocha to this every seventh day. Every Shabbos, when we sit down to drink and we sit down to eat, we are the exact opposite of the Umas HaOlam. We sit down with dignity and respect, with connection, with holiness, with kedusha, with spirituality. Through our food and our drink on the seventh day, we connect with the Almighty. For the Jew, when the feasting reaches its apex, he finds himself in the presence of God. Shalom Aleichem, Bo Acham Hashav. That's when we're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The seventh day on which the celebration attains the finale is known as the Atzeres. It's a day of restraint. Atzeres is stop. The climax of the Yom Tov is the Atzeres, the finale. So the finale in the time of Achashverosh, the finale in the palace of Achashverosh, was the most disgusting, the most debased, the most unrefined, the most despicable form of celebration. The finale for the Jew is the holiest form of celebration. A day of restraint, complete dedication to God. Like the Pasuk says in Devarim, on the seventh day, an atzeras to Hashem your God, it shall be for you. Be atzeras tiyalacham. So in Re'eh, when the Torah goes through the Yamim Tovim. This great ideal of standing before God is achieved on the seventh day. Now, the Rav explains that when the Megillah contrasts for us, B'yam HaShvi, it's not just telling us a date on the calendar, which the Gemara and the Medrash are going to say was a date on the calendar, but it's telling us something else. It's telling us what? That contrast how the Umas HaOlam behave on their seventh day. What is their apex of rejoicing? And how we behave on the seventh day. Not once, every single week. Baruch Hashem Mirzocha to this holiness, the Shiva de Kedusha that comes on the seventh day. Now I'm going to the Gemara with you. We're going to the Gemara, Maseches Megillah, Yud Beis, Amar Aleph, through Yud Beis, Amar Beis. The Gemara is going to fill us in more. Okay, so the Rav gives us really a beautiful hashkafic lesson into what it means to be part of Am Yisrael and celebrating the seventh, which is the day that Kosh Baruch Hu rested, and we bring a Kosh Baruch Hu into our lives. And to be part of the Umas HaOlam, I know they celebrate the seventh day. Now we are going to go to the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Yud Beis Aleph. So the Gemara says as follows: Gam Vashti Hamalka also some Mishnah Nashim Beis Hamachos. We saw that. Remember, I told you the Gemara is going to address why was she making a party? It says she made a Mishnah Nashim. It's a party for a woman Beis Hamachos, the Malcha Chashverosh. Why is she making a woman's party in the house of the king? Now all the men are already feasting, so her party should be in the woman's quarters. Beis Hanashim Mibai, they, the Gemara asked what I just told you, should it not have said that Vashti made a party in the woman's house? Why in the men's house? Amar Rava said, Shnehem Ledavar Aveirin Iskavnu. Both of them, meaning Achashverosh and Vashti, had in mind the same thing. Shnehem Ledavar Aveirin Iskavnu. They both had in mind, wow, that we're going to get everyone here to sin. You bring the men to your quarters. I'll bring the woman to your quarters. The men and the woman be in close proximity, and it will be a very nice yanta for them. And on the seventh day, it'll be the climax of their celebration. And the article footnote says, Amar Rava, Shnehem Ledavar Aveirin Iskavnu. Both of them intended to be involved in Aveira. Article footnote said, Achashverosh wanted his queen to display her beauty before all the guests. And she was willing to do so. Now, you know you're going to say she didn't come. She didn't come because the Gemara tells us that she grew a tail. The angel came and gave her a zanav. She was embarrassed by her appearance. But initially, this is according to Rashi, the Gemara Masecha, and the Maharsha. Initially, she agreed. And the intention was ultimately to commit immoral acts. It wasn't just to eat, and it wasn't just to drink, and it wasn't just to listen to music. It's to bring them to the apex of their immoral celebration. So therefore, the Gemara says that's why she made the party for the woman, where exactly the party for the men was happening. Hainu de amreinche, like people say, meaning a common saying, is ihu bekare the itase bivutine. He is with large pumpkins, and his wife is with small pumpkins. What does that mean? It's a common saying. The evil man and his wife both engage in the same behavior. The Gemara continues. By Yom HaShvi'i. So now we know their purposes of both of them, the intentions of both of them was totally debased. Both he and her, Achashverosh and Vashti, and initially, interesting, she did agree to go to the party. Only when the angel came, I made her grow a tail. Now she's embarrassed. How could I go in public? Everyone's going to see. Well, you know, this thing that I'm growing, then she didn't want to go. By Yom HaShvi'i, Ketov Lev HaMalach B'Yayin. On the seventh day, when the king's heart was merry with wine, the Arch Gofen is just telling you the source. We already saw it on time. Megillas Esther, Perak Al Pasuk Yud, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Yud. Be'amashvi Ketav Lev HaMalach B'Yayin. Now the Gemara says, Atu Ad Hashta Lo Tav Liba B'Chamara. The Gemara asks the question, Atu Ad Hashta, until now, Lo Tav Liba, their heart was not good, B'Chamara, with hard drink. What do you mean? On the seventh day, their heart was... It took 7 days of drinking for their heart to be good. What, after the first day when they drank through five bottles, their heart wasn't good with wine. They weren't drunk yet. They're only drunk on the seventh day when the king's heart is full of wine and good with wine. Why did it take 7 days for his heart to be full of wine? Amar Rava, Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos Haya. I mean, the Gemara in Megillah, Yud Beis Beis, 12b. Amar Rava, Rav says, Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos Haya. What does it mean that it was the seventh day of the party? It was Shabbos. Art scroll footnote, Maharsha. The verse's expression, the seventh day, can denote Shabbos, which is the seventh day of the week. Now, the Gemara says, She Yisrael ochin v'shosin maschilin b'divrei Torah u'b'divrei tishbachos. What do we do on Shabbos? Listen, it's not in Reik, it's Hashem Kodesh. She Yisrael ochin, we eat, v'shosin, we drink, maschilin b'divrei Torah. What do we do on Shabbos? We eat, drink, we share divrei Torah. U'b'divrei tishbachos. And we say words of praise, meaning praise in Kodesh Baruch Hu is tefillah. So the essence of our seventh day is, yes, we also eat and drink. However, we engage in words of Torah. The Shabbos table should always be a Dvar Torah. We should be involved in learning Torah on Shabbos. And also, Divrei Tishbachos, we praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's our seventh day. Aval Ovdei Kochavim, Ba'idol worshippers, literally those who worship the stars, She'ochlin, they eat, V'shosin, they drink, when they eat and they drink, they involve themselves in indecent matters, in not worthy matters, in lowly matters. They say, the Gemara says, Irvin 56 maybe, 65, I don't remember. The Gemara says, a person is recognized, Bekiso, Bekoso, Ubekaso. Really, that's actually a perfect description of Achashverosh. I only thought of it as I'm saying it. A person is recognized bekiso, with his pocket, how he behaves with money, bekoso, how he behaves with wine, his cup, how he behaves when he's drunk, uvakaso, in his anger. That's a perfect description of King Achashverosh. Wow. His money, he hated the Jews so much, he didn't even want 10,000 talents of silver, you just keep the money. Koso, because he's drunk, and everyone at the party is drunk. And Shtiakadas Enoneski, Keni Saramel, Das Vidin. Look what happens when he's drunk. Well, obviously, it's Yeshua Sashem Kerevayin, and Shkashkash Baruchu. But from his perspective, the Medrash says he was very angry at his advisors when he realized what happened to Vashti, because he was drunk when he allowed her to be killed. And Bekaso, in his wrath. Very, very interesting. When they get drunk and they eat, they just engage in indecent matters. And so too at the feast of this wicked one. He's a Rasha. Rashi tells us that Rashi to Perek Al Pasuk Alf of the Megillah, who Achashverosh is a Rasha from beginning to end. Here the Gemara tells you explicitly, V'chein b'sudaso sh'oso Rasha, at the Suda of this Rasha, halalu omrim madios na'os, v'halalu omrim parsios na'os, the topic of conversation. Unlike Gideon, who eat and drink and say divrei Torah and praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they were discussing women. And this group says, you know, the Midianite women are the most beautiful. And this group says, no, the Persian women are the most beautiful. They're debating the beauty of the women. And Sifsei Chacham explains Arts Kofa. No, the people of each nation claimed their women were the most beautiful. Amar Laham Achashverosh said to them, you think the Persians are the most beautiful? You think the Medes are the most beautiful? No. Amar Laham Achashverosh, Kli, listen how he talks. Kli she'ani mishtamish bo. Eino lo midayi velo parsi ala kasti. Listen how he talks. The vessel that I use, Kli shani mishtamish, bo, the kli, the vessel that I use. One second, I see there's a comma. I just want to see. Oh, very nice. Kiso, kaso, koso. And his kise, machuso. Very nice. Kiso, pocket. Kaso, anger. Koso, cup. And his kise, machuso. How he behaves on the throne. Very, very nice. So, kli shani mishtamish bo, the vessel that I use. That's who he uses to talk about his wife. Eino lo madi velo parsi alakasti. She is not a Midianite. She is not a Persian. She is kasti. But she is the most beautiful. So you're both wrong. Ritzonchem there also. Do you want to see her? Amulo, they said yes. Ubilvad shetehe aruma. We do want to see her if you claim she's the most beautiful, but only if she will come naked. Article footnote. Marashal Sai in the Medrash. Achashveosh claimed Vashi was the most beautiful woman, and this was not due to royal clothing. It was not due to jewelry or makeup. They therefore said she must appear naked in order to substantiate your claim. The Gemara now explains why Vashti was fated to appear naked specifically on Shabbos. The Gemara quotes a principle that we know very, very well. The measure in which a man, the way in which a man measures others, he will be measured by heaven. In other words, the way you treat somebody else, that's how you will be treated. That's how Kosh Baruch will deal with him. How you deal with others. Hashem tzircha al yad minecha. Hashem tzircha. I think it's the best who says about Hashem. That says Hashem tzircha. What does it mean Hashem is your shade? If you're on the sidewalk on a very sunny day and you're making a shadow on the sidewalk, your shadow is going to do whatever you're going to do. So if you lift up your hand, your shadow is going to lift your hand. If you put down your hand, your shadow is going to put down its hand. If you shake your head, your shadow is going to shake your head. Kosh Baruch Hu is tzircha. Hashem is your shadow, which means Hashem mimics, so to speak, your behavior. Kaviyacha. So the way I behave with others is how Kosh Baruch Hu will behave with me. He's my shadow. He mimics what I do. So if I behave with kindness and love and Havas Yisrael and Dibur Nikia and soft speech, Kosh Baruch Hu will behave with us with love, etc. If I behave to someone else with cruelty, Rachman Tzan Chalila, that's how Kosh Baruch Hu will pay us back as well. So therefore, Melamed, so why was Vashti punished specifically on the seventh day in order to come naked before the king? Melamed Shahaisa Vashti Harisha'a Mivia Binos Yisrael Umavshitin Arumos Va'osa Behen Melacha Bishabas. Megillah 12b. This teaches you if her punishment was to come naked on Shabbos, on the seventh day, it must be because she did that to someone else. And that's exactly correct. Malami, this teaches you. Shahaisa Vashti Harisha. This teaches you that wicked Vashti, Mivia Benos Yisrael, she used to bring the Jewish maidens, the Jewish girls, Umavshitan Arumos. She would make them unclothed, strip them naked, but also Behan Melacha B'Shabbos. And she would make them do labor. She would make them do work on Shabbos. Therefore, as a punishment, article commentary, she was ordered by Achashverosh to appear naked, specifically on Shabbos. Hainu dechtiv. Now the Gemara says, like the pasuk says, Achar dvarim eila kuso chamas hamelach Achashverosh zachor svashdi v'esosher asosam v'esosher negzarla. The pasuk says, after these things, when the wrath of the king subsided, he remembered Vashti and what was done to her, and what was decreed upon her. Kishem she'asoso. What does that mean? What is this pasuk saying? In other words, that's Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. The Gemara just quoted Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph from the Gemara. So why does the Gemara say he remembers Vashti? The Esther also saw what she had done. The Esther Nigzar Leh. So the pshat is that she refused to come to the king. He remembered Vashti, what she had done, she refused to come to the king. Well, it was decreed upon her that she was killed. But the Gemara here says something else. No. Esther also saw what she did to the Jewish girls by making them work on Shabbos, v'esosher nigzar Allah, and therefore it was decreed upon her, what you did to them, naked working on Shabbos, Jewish girls, you all be brought naked, have to order to come before the king to work on Shabbos, the vessel that I use. Kishem she'asasa, what she did, asher asasa, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, kach nigzar Allah, v'esosher nigzar Allah. So the Gemara is saying that Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph in the Megillah has to be darshan as follows. I'm going to read you the pasuk with the translation of the Gemara, the way it says we have to explain it. Achar dvar ma'ela, after these things, kiso chamas amech Achashverosh, when the wrath, the anger of Achashverosh king subsided, zachar svashti, he remembered Vashti. Now the Gemara says the rest of the pasuk is commenting about Vashti. If you want to know why she deserved what happened to her, ve'esasher asasa, that she made the Jewish girls work naked on Shabbos. Therefore, Mida Kenega Mida was decreed upon her. Now the Gemara goes back. Okay, that was Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Now the Gemara goes back to the narrative of Vashti. That's him. Ainam Alka Vashti. Vashti refused. That's Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. So first he says, "I have the most beautiful queen. It's the seventh day." He consults with the seventh advisors. They order to come. That's him. Ainam Alka Vashti. She refuses. Mikidi Peritza Tahavai. She was a lewd woman. Pritzos, the word is pritzos. Listen. Mikidei peritzata. Peritzata. Pritzos. It's Aramaic. It has an aleph at the end. The Aramaic words often have an aleph at the end. But if you take it off, it reads pritzos. She was a pritzistic woman. She was not zotznia. So we already saw that the Gemara says she specifically made her party of the women by the men so for lewd purposes. So why doesn't she want to come? The Gemara is asking if she's such a pritzistic woman, then why does it say she wants to come? Da amar mar, as the master said. Oh, like Rava said, it's now referring back to the Gemara that we saw already, that Rava says they're both immoral. Shneihem l'davar averos kavnu. They both intended for averos, they both intended to act with immorality and their physical, disgusting, lewd actions. Mai tama lo ase. If so, if she's lewd and she really wants to do inappropriate things, then why didn't she come? And Achashverosh ordered her to appear naked. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, Melamed shepar chabot zara. So one shot is she broke out in some kind of skin malady, and she broke out in tzaras. I don't really like to translate tzaras because I say every year by Tazria Mitzvah, we're already in Sefer Vayikra, the Shabbos, that tzaras is really a spiritual malady with a physical manifestation. But she was a spiritually sick woman, literally. She was sick in mind, sick in body. She was a sick person and a sick woman. So tzaras is a spiritual illness with physical manifestation. It is not leprosy like the disease, the physical disease of leprosy. They had to put lepers in solitary. Leprosy was contagious. I don't know anything about it, but I knew they had to go into solitary because it was a contagious. Tzaraz is not contagious physically. Unless you pick up that person's horrible midos, you begin to act like them, then you're also going to get tzaraz. But it's not physical. And in Vashti's case, she was really a totally debased woman, we see. So she was physically totally decrepit, so she was spiritually totally decrepit, so she breaks it into ras. It's very appropriate, actually. The Gemara doesn't say spots. The Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yossi." One second, shepar chabot tzaras. It's actually really appropriate. It fits in beautifully with how I translate. I shouldn't say translate. Explain tzaras. Tzaras is a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation. It's exactly what Vashti was. She was spiritually debased and disgusting. She was completely lewd and spiritually cruel, so she broke out with a physical manifestation of tzaras. That's why I'm shot. Bimas nisa tana, in a different brisa it was taught, ba gavriel v'asala zanav. Now, this is the source, Megillah 12b, for these two lessons that we have as to why Vashti refused to come naked. Either she was afflicted with tzaras, according to a different opinion, the angel Gavriel came and made her a zanav. So I actually thought of something as I'm speaking, which I never thought of before, which I'm going to share with you. Okay? I'm just going to tell you first the art school footnote. The Aruch explains Zanav does not necessarily mean a tail. Any unusual appendage to one's body doesn't necessarily have to be a tail. That's according to, it's quoted by the Maharsha. Okay, so she broke out in some sort of appendage. Whether it was actually a tail or not, we're not sure. But what's interesting is that it says, the Gemara, that she had a zanav. Okay, what I thought of that I never thought of before, which I think is extremely interesting, actually. We just said, B'midash Adam Modeid Modedino. The way in which a person measures others, so he will be measured. Vashti wanted to... She's really a lesser character in the Megillah. We meet her for a couple of psukim, and then we don't know anything else about her. Achshveirosh remembers what she did. She made the Jewish girls work on Shabbos, according to the Gemara. What was decreed upon her, Mida Kenega Mida, and then we don't hear about her anymore. But Vashti clearly knew the significance of Shabbos to the Jewish people, because why would she make them work on Shabbos? Why didn't she make them work on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the week? She specifically chose the Shabbos day in the most debased fashion and made them work naked because she knew that Shabbos was important to Klal Yisrael. She was seeking to destroy Klal Yisrael spiritually, and therefore, since the epicenter of our lives is Shabbos, and it rejuvenates us and gives us kochos for the whole week, for all of our lives. It's like, you know, I just thought of something as a good mashal. Something that runs on rechargeable batteries. So it has a certain lifespan, but when the rechargeable batteries die, I think I have to sneeze. excuse me, when the rechargeable batteries die, it needs to be recharged. If you don't recharge it, the life force within it cannot work. That's Kaisha. Shabbos is our ability to recharge spiritually, to reconnect to our source. So the whole week we're running. But by the end of the week, if we don't plug in and get that new energy source, then how will we continue to survive? It might look like a person's walking around physically, but spiritually, Rechman al-Litzan, they have no power left. They have no battery life left. Shabbos is our time to recharge with a Kosh Baruch Hu. Vashti clearly realized that. If she didn't realize that, then she wouldn't have made them work specifically naked on the seventh day. So I just thought of something I never thought of before. The Gemara tells us she either had Saras or a Zanav. Saras we just explained. My definition of Saras, I actually don't translate the word. My definition of Saras is a spiritual malady with a physical manifestation. While she was spiritually corrupt, debased, sick, we know she wanted it to be a lewd time. She was happy to come naked to the party until she either got Saras or grew a Maka Zanav. She was spiritually destroyed. She destroyed herself. And therefore she had physical manifestation. What about Maka Zanav? Well, the Gemara has just told us, B'midash Adam Modin, Modin Lo. The way in which a person measures others, so he will be measured. Vashti's aim is to destroy Klal Yisrael, and she thought she could do this by destroying our connection to Shabbos. It's very, very interesting. When else do we see a reference to a Makas Zanav? Vashti was afflicted with Makas Zanav, whether it was actually a tail or some kind of other growth. The Lashon of the Gemara is Makat Zanav. Now, the Lashon of the Gemara is Bava Gavriya Va'asala Zanav. But I'm saying it was a Makat Zanav. She was afflicted. She was strict. She got a Makat, a patch with a Zanav. Before Purim, the Shabbos before Purim, which this week is tomorrow, we got a base Knesset. And we hear read out loud the Parsha of Amalek. We call that Parsha Zachar. Shabbos Parsha Zachar. We read from Sefer Devarim, Parshas Kisetze, Parachav Hei, Pesukim Yud Zayin through Yud Ches. Zachar is the Shor Salach HaAmalik, B'Darech B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way when you were leaving Egypt. Asher Karcha B'Darech, they chanced upon you on the way. V'Yuzane B'Chal Kol HaNechashalim Acharecha. How did Amalek attack us? Asher Karcha B'Darech, they chanced upon us on the way. Amal, she says three interpretations. What does it mean? Asher karcha b'darach, lashon mikra. Coincidental, happenstance. Amalek wants us to see that everything in the world is just random chance. That's why I'm shal asher karcha b'darach. Asher karcha b'darach is from the word carry, a man's omission. They defiled Klal Yisrael with homosexual relations, and the third is they cooled us off. Like they jumped into a boiling hot bath and they showed everyone it's not as hot as you think. They were cooled off the waters for everyone else. That's what Amalek did. They want you to see that everything is random chance. They defiled Klal Yisrael with homosexual relations, sexual abuse, homosexual relations. And finally, they cooled us off before the nations of the world. Asher karcha b'darach, this is 25:18. How did Amalek attempt to destroy us? How did they attack us? Says Rashi, Makas Zanav. A blow to the Zanav. What does that mean? Mutilation of the sexual organs. It's not me. Open up Rashi. 25:18 to Devarim. Makat Zanav, a blow to the Zanav, Hayachosech Milos, they would cut off the male sexual organ, Vizorei Klapei Mala, throw it up to Shammai. So we see when Amalek, when the nation comes to destroy us, they give us a Makat Zanav. They come against us with Makat Zanav. Vashti is one in our history who tried to destroy Klal Yisrael through destroying Shabbos and Kedusha Shabbos. it is extremely compelling that if, of course, Baruch Hu meets out justice and punishment, mida kenegami, like the Gemara just said, shuba mida shada modidino, if she was trying to destroy Klal Yisrael, in a sense, through makat zanav, it is mida kenegamida, that she was afflicted with a makat zanav. It's not random. Just like Amalek comes to destroy us by cutting off the essence of the life force, in a physical sense. The Chosech Milos, they were cutting off the place that is the essence of life force in the physical sense. She was cutting off the essence of life force in a spiritual sense, which is Shabbos. So since she was giving us a Makat Zanav, she was afflicted with Makat Zanav. And this is what we will read tomorrow, Beis Knesset. So when you hear these words, you should understand that sometimes the Makat Zanav doesn't have to be in the most physical sense. In the case of Amalek, Rechman's son, it was. In the case of Ashdi, it's in a spiritual sense. But in both cases, the enemy is trying to get to the life force. Just like the male organ is the source of the life force that gives Zara Kedisha, holy seed to the next generation. Shabbos is the life force that gives us all spiritual sustenance for us and for the next generation. And when someone comes to attack that, in the end, they will be attacked. When someone comes to destroy our life force, their life force will be destroyed. When someone comes against us with Makat Zanav, they will be afflicted with Makat Zanav. And the fact that she was afflicted with Makat Zanav and refused to go to the king ultimately led to her destruction, to Esther's anointing, and the salvation of all of Klal Yisrael. So that's on the Gemara here, related to understanding that Shabbos is our spiritual life force, just like the Makat Zanav of Amalek was the physical life force. The king is very angry. I'm continuing in the Gemara. Amaya, the king is very angry. Amai dilaka be kulehai. Why did his anger burn so much within him? Remember, he's very angry that she won't come. Amar Rava shtochale. Rava said, because Vashti sent him a message. What was the message that Vashti gave him? Bar ahuraye ahure yare da abba. You are just the stable boy of my father Belshazzar. This is the message, and she refused to come. This is what she said to him. You're a stable boy? Abba la kaba al pechamara shase vila rave. My father could drink the equivalent of what 1,000 people could drink. La kabal al pechamara. My father could drink like 1,000 people, and he didn't get drunk. Bahu gavran, this man. That's what she talks about. So he says, she's my vessel that I use. She says, you're a man who's a stable boy, and this man, Ish tate b'chamere. He becomes a fool from his wine. When he heard her message, chamasa barabo, his wrath burned within him. I was going to end the Gemara there because I still want to tell you what the Medrash says on the seventh day, but this is very interesting. So I continued a little bit, and I never knew this. So I'm going to share with you also. Vayomer hamelech l'chachamim. The king said to his wiser, remember we saw after she refuses, Vayomer hamelech l'chachamim yodea ha'itim. He says to the wise men who know the times. The Gemara says, man chachamim rabbanan. Who are these wise men? The rabbis. How do we know that they are rabbis? He calls rabbis to consult with. Yodea ha'itim, because they know times. Yodea ha'itim is an appellation for Klal Yisrael. Yisachar is the one who knows times. They know how to calculate the calendar, how to set Rosh Chodesh. She'odin la'abar shana v'litba chadashim. He called the rabbis. The rabbis know how to set the times. They know how to make an Ibar shana, which we're in right now. They know how to establish the new moon. He calls them, and he says to them, Amar luhu dayinuhuli. He gives them an impossible assignment. He calls the rabbis. Chachamim yodea itim is a rabbanim, who know how to establish times. And he says, you judge Vashti for me. Amru hechinabe, they said to themselves, this is impossible, this is a catch 22. However we judge her is not going to be good. How should we deal with this? Nime le katala, if we say she should be killed, katala is in Aramaic, death. If we say she shall be killed, lamachor tomorrow, pasuk le chamera, he won't be drunk anymore, v'vai le minet, he's not going to be drunk anymore, he's going to come, he's going to demand from us, what happened to my queen? However, so we can't tell him to kill her. He's going to blame us for killing the queen. Naimele shavaka, we say to just let her go unpunished. Ka mizalzala b'machusa. If we say to go unpunished, she's cheapening, she is mocking the king. So who cares? The Artskofunar ever says, Achashvevish will blame this. Okay, use the word that I didn't know what it means. Do you know this word? L-E-S-E. Achashvevish will blame this L-E-S-E majesty on us. L-E-S-E, I looked it up. And L-E-S-E, very interesting, is an actor crime of showing lack of respect for the monarchy. L-E-S-E is an act or crime of showing lack of respect for the monarchy. If we say to kill her, Tamari's not going to be drunk, he's going to come after us. If we say don't kill her, well, there's a lack of respect for the monarchy, and he's going to blame that on us also. Everything's blamed on the Jew. If the Jew is rich, they say they control the economy. If the Jew is poor, they say they're legions. What should we do? Amudo, they have to get themselves out of the situation. So what do they say? They say, Achashverosh, you know, Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash V'Galinu Me'Artzenu. When they, the temple is destroyed, they don't mean like us 2,000 years ago. They mean like, you know, almost 7 decades ago when the temple was destroyed and we're exiled from our land. Nitva Eitzami Me'Artzenu. We don't have the ability anymore. Advice was taken from us. Wisdom was taken from us. They ain't none of Yodim Ledun Dine Nefashos. We can no longer judge capital cases. Go to the palaces of Ammon and Moab. They remain in their places like wine that sits on its sediment, i.e. they have not experienced upheaval and relocation, and their wise men, they'll be able to help you. We cannot help you. So that is how the Chacham and Yodei Itim got themselves out of this predicament. Okay, Tsara'as, she was spiritually sick with a physical affection. Makazanav, Amalek physically rooted out the place of life. Vashti spiritually rooted out the place of life. Makat Zanav, she was therefore punished. Mita Kenegam Yuthot Zanav, what did she try and root out? She made the Jewish girls work naked on Shabbos, seventh day. We call it Rav Salvechik. Look at their seventh day, the climax of their celebration. Look at our seventh day. We quoted the Gemara. Okay, now I just want to tell you, I want to tell you what the Medrash says. So now I'm in Medrash Esther Rabbah. That was all the Gemara Megillah, Yud Beis. Now I'm going to tell you what the Gemara, the Medrash says. Medrash Esther Rabbah. Parsha Gimel, Simen Yud Aleph, Bayam HaShvi, on the seventh day, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Zeh Yom HaShabbos, short teaching, that's what the Medrash says, Zeh Yom HaShabbos, this is the Shabbos day. I'm going to quote the Artsko Medrash Rabbah footnote. The Medrash finds the verse puzzling, for the king presumably drank wine all 7 days of the feast, not just on the seventh day. Moreover, what difference does it make which day of the feast Achashverosh ordered Vashti to appear? Remember, nothing in Tanakh is an accident. So if it's specifically time he said that, I mean, is that Nevuah Shutzuchu L'Doros? Who cares what day? Maybe she appeared on the first day, the third day. Why do you need to know? This is in part of Tanakh, our 24 Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh. So that means it's for us. So the Medrash is therefore explaining why we need to know that it was the seventh day. Because really on their calendar, who cares what day it was? No. What difference does it make which day of the feast Achashverosh ordered Vashti to appear? The Medrash therefore states the seventh day denotes the Shabbos day. I want to tell you something else, but I see I don't have time. Okay, I'll tell it to you quickly. We also noted that in the same pasuk, when it was the seventh day, he also consulted with his 7 advisors. Remember, I pointed that out to you at the time. Shiva Sasarisim Hamisharsim Es Pnei Melech Achashverosh. He had 7 advisors who served the face of the king Achashverosh. Another focus on 7. So Medrash Esther Rabbah, Parsha Gimel Simen Yud Bey says, She'ein Amalchus Ma'amedes Pechos Mishiva Sarisim Lefnei Melech. The reason the verse makes a point of telling you how many advisors he had is because a kingdom does not appoint less than 7 chamberlains before the king to serve him. I thought this was very interesting, and then it's going to relate to Shabbos as well. A king does not appoint less than 7 chamberlains, sarisim, also translated as eunuchs, advisors, not really advisors. Those who serve the king, the eunuchs, the chamberlains, there have to be 7, not less than 7. So the article footnote says, according to this, Medrash Esther Rabba Gimel Yud Beis, according to the simple meaning of the verse, Achashverosh called his chamberlains to escort Vashti to the party. Why did he call 7 servants? 1 or 2 could have accomplished the task. The Medrash answers, royal protocol dictates the king must always be served by 7 chamberlains. Therefore, although the task could have been performed by 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, all 7 went to call the queen. Now, the footnote tells you, this right away reminded me of, I'll tell you what it reminded me of, just like on, and I'll tell you what the footnote says, just like an earthly king is served by 7 and not less, Kosh Baruch Hu is also served by 7 and not less. 7 what? 7 days of the week, the holiest and most important day being Shabbos Kodesh. So we see that a set of 7, because we know everything physical has a spiritual parallel. If a king on earth, Tasher Vadam, cannot be served with less than 7, Kavachomer, Ben Menosho Kavachomer, Melech Machem, Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is served with 7. So which means that the most important thing is that we have a complete unit of 7 in serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, what is that? the seventh day of the week. The Arch Gofuno says what I just said, but in a different vein. Earthly royalty is but a reflection of heavenly royalty. Just as God is served by seven heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and five visible planets through which he guides the world, so too earthly kings are served by seven courtiers. But I think what I said is very beautiful. If we see that we learn about the heavenly kingdom from the earthly kingdom, Vahavdil. So if the earthly king is served by seven, we see that the importance of serving Kosh Baruch Hu seven. What does that mean? Making sure we have a complete unit. What's a complete unit? Sheishas Ime'achol. And Shiva is Yom HaShabbos Kodesh. We see that our enemies who try and destroy Shabbos Kodesh, like Vashti, which is the spiritual lifeblood of Kaisha. Malik gave us Makkah Zonav in a physical sense. Vashti gave us Makkah Zonav in a spiritual sense. They both tried to cut off the life force of Amisha. Ultimately, she was punished Mida Kenegan Mida with her Makkah Zonav, because anyone who tries to, she made the girls work naked on Shabbos, anyone who tries to uproot our life force of Shabbos Kodesh should know that Kosh Baruch Hu will take retribution, because it's not that the Jews keep Shabbos, it's that Shabbos keeps the Jews. I wish you all beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, and Be'ezer Hashem, a Freilich and Freilich and Purim for us and all Kaisha. Kol Tov, good Shabbos, and thank you to all.